on July 30th, 1938, and Charles Lindbergh on October 19th, 1938, were awarded the Order of the German Eagle. It is possible, however, that Nazi newspapers reported these awards. On the 25th of 2009, a Munich court ruled that a 70-year-old copyright expired for all Nazi publications printed before 1939. And so, therefore, this is why this document is out there. Let me skip down here. The Biographical Directory of the United States of Congress, in its entry for Prescott Bush, U.S. Senator of Connecticut, 1952 to 63, mentions his career in banking and the investment field, but before entering the Senate, but does not go into specifics. Why would Prescott Bush be awarded the Order of the German Eagle? The British newspaper The Guardian on September 25th of 2004 said that George Bush's grandfather, the late Prescott Bush, was a director and shareholder of many companies that profited from the financial backing of the Nazi regime. And then, of course, all of their assets were seized in 1942 under Trading with the Enemies Act. Documents reveal that the firm he worked for, Brown Brothers Harriman, acted as a U.S. base for the German industrials Fritz Thyssen, who helped finance Hitler in 1930s before having a fallout with him at the end of the decade. I'm trying to get the Library of Congress show that Prescott books. Yes, one second. There is a vesting order number 248, which records the seizure of the company assets. What the files show is that on October 20th, 1942, the alien property custodian seized assets of UBC, of which Prescott Bush was the director. And even with all of this information, the Anti-Defamation League came out and stated in 2003 that despite some early financial dealings between Prescott Bush and Nazi industrialist Fritz Thyssen, who was arrested by the Nazi regime in 1938 and imprisoned for the war, Prescott Bush was neither a Nazi nor a Nazi sympathizer. Yeah, that's right. On March 8th, 1938, the day after Prescott Bush was awarded the Order of the German Eagle, former U.S. President Herbert Hoover met with Hitler in Berlin. He spent 40 minutes with the Führer, declined to make any comments about the meeting. Prescott's father, Samuel Prescott Bush, was a close friend and advisor to Herbert Hoover. And in 1931, President Hoover had appointed Bush as a member of the President's Committee on Unemployment Relief. It's possible that this medal was given to Herbert Hoover by Hitler to pass on to Prescott Bush for his workings for Thyssen. This document, which is authentic, is out there for around $5,000 for collectors. And so I just thought a very, very interesting tidbit to notice who else received the Order of the German Eagle. It wasn't that we were looking at the Bush families and their finance. We also had the head of IBM and Ford and many others who were working on behalf of the German industrialist war killing machine. That is something to write down into your notebooks. On the lines, we have Bob Dobbs and Ion. Bob, welcome to KPFK. It has been a little over a month. We've had fun drive and a lot of things, but it is really great to have you back on the airs in Los Angeles.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, Eben. It is always great to be with you. And thank you for having Ion and myself back to challenge the audience in all kinds of new perspectives. I think I've experienced many mediums, but Ion is actually upping the ante with some new statements about what's happening, where we came from, where we're going, and how there's no time.
And Ion, always a pleasure to have you, and it's just fantastic that you've emerged at this time.
Good morning, good morning. It is our good pleasure.
Yes. Okay, well, let's just launch into all of this. I want to ask you guys what happened to the French flight out of Brazil the AC-30 that crashed, where they weren't able to decipher what happened to the plane. They're not able to find the black boxes. They have found some bodies. It's a tragic loss for many in France. And I just want to start off there because it's something that is clouded for, it seems, the whole world. What do you see, Ion?
Well, there's much that we could address in that very window. You must come to the polity or place that you understand that there are two. Every conversation is two conversations. Well, just as the reality that you're engaging in, there are many dimensions that you can also come into, and this is yet another, there are many, it's yet another example of an interdimensional mirrored view or picture of your planular reality, and that's engaged in within the rift. And this is yet another example of that very transition from one reality to another reality.
In this reality, though?
Yes, this reality, that you have pieces of the plane and you have pieces of what you call life lost. Well, the better question then comes is, where's everybody else?
Everybody else that
was on that plane, that particular plane.
Didn't everybody pass?
Well, they passed, but not passed away.
How interesting. So if you take us back to the beginning, what started to create, what conditions made it such that we would even be introduced to something coming into the rift?
Ah, very good, very good. History has recorded many, you could go all the way into your Bermuda Triangle places. You could go into all those other anomalies that have been recorded anomalies. It's much more subtle than that, but those are major ones that actually make the New York Times, obviously, or the L.A. Times, in your case, of things that can't be explained. Well, everything can be explained, but the explanation doesn't have to come from your limited place of knowing. Just as you gaze into a mirror and you see your reflection, the reflection that you see sometimes is already ordained with what you're going to see. But you must realize or come into a place of embracing the idea or concept that every conversation is two conversations. Then you must know that there are multi-planular dimensions that are also available within the vortex of your place of knowingness.
Yes.
And just when you develop or discover a new concept, a new technology, they always want to lean it to an alien technology or an alien something that's unknown or introduced into a plane or a space of time, maybe is a better way to say it, especially since there is no time. But you come into a place of understanding that this interdimensional planes that can be tapped into, many times you have aspirations of things going from one level to another level. And as those levels, you start coming into the place of understanding that there, first of all, there are multi-levels, then it becomes very explainable of what actually happened to Amelia Earhart, of actually what happened to others who transfer from one plane to another plane, and yet they can't seem to quite bring it all back into a place of understanding. But then they trickle. It's a drippy faucet. The evidence becomes known, and the way they can explain it then is once they open and embrace this new concept of a different space and time. Many make reference to those, even in world, what you call world occurrences, are explained in different ways, where you have a position where it's almost nonsensical, but then all of a sudden in a later reference or a future to future time historical reference, it starts to make sense. Well, this it becomes many times the fodder that creates those realities of an understanding of what was actually taking place and going on anyway. So this is yet another example of that same position.
Right, but still, no matter where they ended up, what caused them to have to go into another dimension?
Well, as with every creation, it was absolutely their sometimes unconscious knowing or wanting that engaged this rift travel.
Well.
Yeah.
But
so much for being genteel with it, huh?
Well.
Hey, Eben.
Yes.
I've discussed this a lot. I didn't know. Did you know that I talked to Ian about this plane thing? Did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, it's good you brought it up. I've gone into a lot of time with Ian, and maybe this would direct what he's saying. He said that some of the people on the plane were from the other side, and were used to going through the rift. So they, a good chunk of the passengers, wanted to go back. Maybe Ian could pick up that thought.
Well, yes, and that might be an easier way to sort of broach the process of some basic understanding. Because once you embrace this concept, all of a sudden it makes everything maybe a little simpler and easier to understand the prescribed prescription. If you have, you look in a mirror and you can see the image of yourself, okay?
Yes.
Looking through the looking glass. Or as your Michael Jackson talks about the man in the mirror.
Right.
That's a nice way to parallel it as well. Because it's the first concept that there is a duality. And that duality then becomes that reflection from a refracted view, you see. Because the reflection has to be refracted or you don't see an image. It's what they used to talk about with the vampires among you that don't have an image in the mirror, you see. So if you start sifting out even in your world, your world here now, you come into a very, very simple, easy place of starting having a cohesiveness of going, oh, well, there's many worlds, okay? Well, you can, if you can come to the place of understanding and knowing of how to go from this plane to another plane. Now, we're not talking about heaven. We certainly can, but what you call heaven is actually a little bit different. We're talking about in the physical aspect of man or mankind. You see,
yes.
Because there is a spirit man, and it also has a spirit man in another multi-dimension. But setting heaven aside just a bit, because that's actually more into your gulf reality of where those collected souls, when you decide no longer to participate in human, we jokingly call it meat sack form. That's a little bit different.
So hold it, you're saying there's such a thing as a rift, and then there's such a thing as a gulf.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I'll just say the gulf is where you go when you transition, since there's no death. But the rift is the mirror of our situation.
And you actually
see your other self when you look in a mirror.
Oh, how interesting. But you're
now,
saying...
Isn't that interesting? You're looking at the person that's you in the other, through the rift. That's pretty strange.
So are you saying even, and that isn't just one rift, that is multiple rifts that couldn't...
The rift is where you travel.
Okay, the rift is where you travel.
To get to the other place.
And, Eben, have you ever been to a hall of mirrors?
Yes.
Well, that's, how do you explain that, you see? How does that work? How does that, it's the resonance of you that pick up these different refracted reflections that can change concepts of reality. Because you're looking and you look down the hallway and there's 100 of you, you see. That's a good. That's a very good parallel.
But it's all, but it's all dependent upon the meat sack standing there.
That well, it's even more than that. It's the eye of the beholder. Do you see? Because it's because you can go through the Hall of Mirrors and close your eyes and be oblivious to the whole experience.
So how did those that were from okay, for one, you are saying that there were people on that plane that were from the Rift?
Another plane.
Another plane.
Parallel that they got to through the Rift.
Plane.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so they're from another plane that got there through the Rift.
Yes.
Okay. And who are they? What are they?
Just like you, they're humans that have spirits that are, that have, they wear lipstick, they comb their hair, they shave, they, they have the human condition, just as you enjoy the human condition. And from another plane, and we're not talking about airplane, we're talking about plane of existence.
Yes.
And they found a way through an airplane to change from this world to another world, and that's done through a vehicle or a airspace called a rift.
And what is the speed of the plane? What is the physical dynamics to enter a rift?
Well, you have matter and antimatter. And in this particular plane, you're just now coming into using forceps mostly, coming into the place of even embracing that there's such a thing as antimatter.
Yes.
Just now coming into the place. But other planes embrace it thoroughly, you see.
Would you say antimatter is dark matter, or what is dark matter?
No, that's very different. That's very, very, that's very different.
Okay.
Very different. And we want to dumb it down or get it easy so we don't confuse the terminology.
Yes.
Because so many times what happens is we could talk about heaven or we could talk about God and what most people think God is, God isn't. And the evidence of that is ask 100 people what God is, and they'll give you 100 different answers.
Yes.
And yet you acknowledge a deity, you see. No problem with that. But then when you get down to the details, oh, no, my God is this way, or no, my God is that way. So the belief system or thoughts that have been thunk for a very long time establish and develop this meme or this grid that this far and no further. And that's where a lot of the issues then start unraveling, you see. Because if you don't believe the way I believe, then therefore you surely must die. And my God will vindicate my position. And as your blood runs in McGeehan, then you'll know that my God's stronger than your God. Isn't that what Moses got into with Pharaoh the first time?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So this isn't a new topic, you see. It's an old topic, but it's a good example. Because, see, now all of a sudden, for the very first time, you can come now into a new place of knowing. And this new place of knowing is that there is no time. They talk about things being timeless, but nobody can actually pinpoint what those things are. Now, let's do it in the scientific world so folks can start going, oh, now, wait a minute. This is a little bit more than I'd banked on here, you see. You have a black hole, okay?
Yes.
An event horizon sometimes is also engaged. Well, they talk about a black hole, but nobody that's been into a black hole has come back to tell you what was on the other side of the black hole. So it's one of those anomalies that's somewhere out there, and as the event keeps coming closer to that horizon, it becomes further out into the horizon. You can't get there. When the sun is setting into the sea, you can't ever get to that place where the sun actually touches the sea.
Right, true.
It's physically right there in front of your eyes. And
well,
yet, that event horizon keeps moving as you move, you see.
Okay.
And then the world turns, you see. So it keeps moving out into infinity, I guess, is the way they describe it.
It's like halfway, always halfway to the...
Precisely. But if there was a way you could catch up, to where the event horizon is, then you could come into the place in knowing that the event horizon can also be a seamless antimatter matter experience, which can instantly move you to a parallel. We use parallel just to make it easy to understand. It keeps the vernacular on a simple, easy basis.
Yes.
Of experiencing another world likened to this world, you see?
Yes.
That you can engage and experience in.
Why would these individuals, and I'm sorry, Bob, jumping in time, I know I'm talking a lot with Ion, but no, you're there. Why would these individuals jeopardize those that aren't ready to make that transition?
Well, now we have to come back to a place that there's no jeopardy, and even your law books have an issue with double jeopardy. You see, because you have there is no what you call death or transition. There is only transition. There. If you have an eternal life, it has to be eternal. So there is none that are transitioning that is not their choice to transition.
Oh, really? On that flight, everybody, I mean, you're saying that at some level this was condoned by everybody on that flight?
Well, now, wait a second now. You only found the bodies of a few.
Yeah, like 14 or something.
Well, that's not the plane load.
That's not what, sir?
That's not everyone on the plane.
There's a lot more than 14.
Yeah, there was 237 or something.
Well, okay. So now did they take a democratic vote and 14 decide not to come back and the rest, the other 199 decide to?
Wow.
Yeah, what happened, Eben, I'll just speed it up here. So Ion described to me that for those that were getting on the plane to get to the, consciously go through the rift and get to the other world, which was very similar to our world, they experienced the movie being interrupted and then landed in Paris, but Paris in the other world. And they then went about their business, those that wanted to be there. The ones that didn't know about this at all and ended up there unwittingly, they sort of thought they had landed in Paris, but after a while noticed things. Then they felt really uncomfortable, so a lot of them killed themselves, or tried to get back. They killed themselves, according to Ion. They ended up landing over here, just like Edgar Allan Poe was found in the ditch because he got trapped in the rift. These people land over here, and when the Brazilian was saying we found these bodies, Ion said, well, how come, here it is a week later, they're not all decomposed? And if they actually looked in the bodies, they'd notice bullet holes, they'd notice swimming pool water in their lungs, and all these other reasons. And I doubt if the Brazilian police looked for that, but they would have found it, according to Ion. Now, that's just another twist to this.
And what about the black boxes?
Well, you said it right, black boxes. That's correct. They recorded them, blip, 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 and then all of a sudden, no blip.
Yeah.
They always find the black boxes, do they not?
Yes, they usually do. There's a beacon, and...
Well, now, wait, no, not usually. Now, they always find the black boxes. You see, that's the whole aspect of the recording, and it's not just a black box. There's multiple tiered layers. Even in your 911, they had a blip of every plane that was. They were keeping track of everything in the air. Everything, and even what you call your unidentified flying objects. Even when they show up, there's blips. They go, wait a minute, there was nothing there, and then all of a sudden there was there.
Hmm.
You see?
Yes.
And they record it and record it and record it. And yes, granted, fair enough, they decide that human beings in this plane aren't ready to accept it, so they have to put it in a room, a hall, for 70 years until a span of time can be put between the actual occurrence and the reality that was indeed recordable. Because you're not able to accept that. So, and this is your work, not ours. So,
What makes with all of the layers that we are in, and we are knowledgeable of it. What makes the explanation of this the you know, how do you know that your explanation is the final explanation when it comes to how complicated or how this functions? Could it be that this is a refraction? The explanation is a refraction, and operating in this plane is you know what I'm saying?
You are the creator. You are the creator. There's nothing in your universe that is not your creation. You see.
But the things that are working outside it, like those that are able to go through a rift, those are individuals that are creating something that is puncturing this sphere.
Yes. Well, and you don't get angry at someone because they know something that you don't know. Just as you don't pity someone because you have an understanding that someone else does not.
Right.
You see, did they get angry at the man who first ran the 4-minute mile?
No.
Well, and yet no one had done it until that one did it. And then once that one did it, then everybody could do it.
Right. Interesting.
Well, why couldn't everybody do it before he did it?
Huh.
Same aspiration.
Wow.
We call that illusions of grandeur.
That is, well, you know, that's okay. Illusions of grandeur, that's great, versus delusions of grandeur.
Please yourself because delusions are just as effective, you see.
Yes.
if it acts, let's go simpler so you don't lose the point in the whole point of this.
Yes.
Here's the point. You have a non-physical part that's attached to you. That's how the coroner decides whether or not you've expired or not. And how they tell the milk's bad is it's dated.
Yeah.
Or no, wait, you can actually smell the milk and tell. No,
yes.
You
yeah.
gotta, no, there's not real milk anymore, so you got to watch the date.
Well, they take a pulse to see if anything's still going through there.
But I'm sorry, that's not so much the case. And many of your ICUs, it's very difficult to expire. They have to look at the wave, the brain dead waves.
Oh, very good.
Because they take control of every biological function of what you call what we call the meat sack aspect. It's very difficult to die in the ICU.
Hmm.
They can hold you on for a very, 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 very long time.
Wow.
You see. So in the complex or simple way of describing it, you have a non-physical, the spirit man, that's attached to you. And that comes from birth, okay? And that non-physical part is with you. And if you can come into a place where you can have a seamless interaction with the non-physical Eben and the physical Eben, then what happens is you become what they call an enlightened being, meaning that you've got a handle on it. Now, you also have a mind that is the fulcrum that balances, because everything, every aspect of your life is a balancing. If you have too much sugar, then you're diabetic. If you have not enough sugar, then you're something else, and physicalness is that show up in your experience, okay?
Yes.
You have enough money, then you don't experience lack. If you have abundance, then you don't have lack, you see. And if you have a lot of money, then you're a bad person. And if you don't have a lot of money, then you're virtuous.
No, you're still a bad person.
Oh, well, okay, but you're virtuous, you see.
Right.
But that's just a sifting process of where you land on your fulcrum.
Yes.
You see. Because for some folks, that's just very natural and normal. It's the next logical step. Well, I'm an actor, and I made a movie, and I get my $100 million, and so what of it? You see. Well, no, that's not fair. That's injustice. Others don't have, because they weren't chosen to portray this actor role, and the only reason the movie's good is because a whole lot of people went to pay money to go and see it. So, therefore, even the bad movies are profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yes.
And yet that's what drives your, what you call, box office.
Yes.
And so now it's not about, it's not like it was the earlier days of a Katharine Hepburn or a Betty Davis, that actorship was vindicated because you were a profound or prolific actor. It's no, it's how many people bought the DVD. You see?
Yes.
And now then there's another pecking order. We don't want to dance too far out because we'll come back to the place of you have a non-physical and you have a physical. And if you can embrace that and your mind will allow that concept to become in your knowing, then it becomes natural, normal, and very, very easy for the mind's eye to capture. Isn't it interesting that the eyes are the window to the soul?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's that resonance or aspiration that you can easily accept.
And the eye doesn't get a disease. Did I hear you saying that the other day?
The eye, that is correct. There is no lack of ease or dis-ease or lack of ease within the eye. Every degeneration that comes from an eye has to be connected to some other connection, you see.
Yes, sir. Let me just remind folks that you are tuned to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 90.7 FM in beautiful San Diego, 98.7 up in Santa Barbara. Hello. Yes, this is what we get to do here on listener-sponsored radio. We get to bring on just shatterers of whatever material existence we think we're living here. And this is all a part of trying to do something next, new, bringing forth folks, Bob and Ion and others that are just going to pull the rug out from under you. Because I think we get too smug thinking that we know the plans of the world and how this place works when there's so much more to discover. And so if you want to get in on the action and talk with Bob and Ion, the number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Plenty of time to talk about blood and mayhem, and we have a lot of that. We're trying to get another handle on it, and new terms have come into our material matter, the rift and the gulf, and we're going to continue that and talk with Bob and Ion right after this break. So stay tuned. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
And you know, loves, to go to www.kpfk.org. There you're going to see all the rest of our fabulous programmers and great community events, things out there that you can come together with people of like mind and not, and start to mash up some solutions to your internal conflicts and their, you know, octopus nature to materialize in this plane of existence. On the lines, we have Bob Dobbs and Ion. This is our monthly jettison from everything we thought we knew into uncharted territories, parallel territories. It's just my honor to be able to sit here and be a conduit to this, because maybe you guys would think like, oh, come on, we want to hear more about the Bilderbergers, more about, you know, this and that. And sometimes we have to detach and just come back into the mystery of this life, because it is an incredible incarnation, you guys. We are in a historic point in the development of this planet. And maybe if we can grasp some of these higher aspects and understanding this world, we might be able to think or and imagine our way out of it, right? As creators, as we are constantly being reminded. And so, Bob, I ask some questions. You go now.
Yeah. Eben, talked to a few people in L.A. over the past week, and a couple of them remarked that it was the L.A. people look more shocked than 911 in New York as a result of Michael Jackson. This is L.A.'s 911, these friends are telling me, which is interesting. So I know it's a big issue, at least in the life of L.A., and I want to up the ante here. I have explored the Michael
Jackson phenomenon with ION. And now that ION has explained the rift, ION will tell you that Michael Jackson, the original son of Joseph, has not arrived in the guff, which means he has not transitioned. This opens up a bunch of interesting questions, and I'll leave it to ION to see what he would like to add to what I've said.
Yeah.
ION, could you go in a bit about the Michael Jackson rift relationship?
You just sort of introduced that into Eben. Do you have a question regarding it?
Well, yes. And so the idea that we have seen a material, we've gone through the whole dramatic scenario of the ending of Michael Jackson's life. We've seen something of a body, but you're saying that he is not at the Gulf.
The non-physical part of Michael Jackson has not arrived in the Gulf. That's correct.
Okay, and so is he just kind of hanging out in the rift? What happened to Michael Jackson?
Well, as you have multi-planes or multi-dimensions, you see, you can experience your life in a paralleled experience where he basically is now arranged so he could comfortably be in another plane. Another parallel space and time.
He has comfortably arranged that.
Yes.
And how did he learn to be able to navigate?
Marvelous question. There you go, because that's the question that everybody's asking, is how this works. Give me the bill of particulars, and it's explained, once you embrace this, now your Bermuda Triangle no longer has a problem. You don't have an issue with understanding the process. You can now stop searching for the lost city of Atlantis. Now, all of a sudden, the ancient civilizations that were further advanced technologically than we are now, because they built things that we still can't build now, you see, in this plane, and that yet they can find where the rocks were piled up to create those. That's the marvelous aspiration of the question that many, many, many have come to the place of knowing. There are those that are in tuned with the non-physical, physical part, because that becomes seamless. Your Christian faith would invite the Messiah to come and live into your heart.
Yes.
Okay? Become a part of you. You have that relationship. Relationship means it's relative. And you have a joint, jointness. And then all of a sudden you become, you're waiting on a new heaven and a new earth. You see? So this now becomes a whole extra fun, basically a dimension of the spirit that can allow the understanding. And once you allow the understanding, you understand that microwave radiation was the same way, that they didn't have a microwave oven, and then all of a sudden they had that technology, and now you don't have to understand how the microwave works in order to warm something in a microwave oven. You don't even really understand how electricity works, and yet you have it in your house mostly.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So your question now becomes is how, take it back just a little bit. Number one is, why would you come to this conclusion? If you had this opportunity, why would you take this path?
Hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Well, you look at a life. You look at your place. Well, I am who I am. Okay? And you take yourself with you most everywhere you go. Well, you go down a path, and all of a sudden you have a comfort level of you-ness. And if that becomes uncomfortable, then you can absolutely change, because you can do, be, or have anything that you would like to do, be, or have, because you're the creator. Well, once you embrace that experience, then you come into a whole new place of knowingness, and then when you come into that new place of knowingness, then you get to make a choice and decide. Well, as you make that choice and decide, then you can lay that out as you will it, as you want it to be. in contrast, as we thoroughly developed earlier, is not a big thing or a bad thing. It's the only way you get a new pair of shoes is if your other ones wear out or hurt your feet.
Hmm.
Well, he chose to come into a place to where he would have a different experience or a better experience in his aspiration, because up until his untimely passing that they're prescribing in your news, it wasn't such a fun place.
Right, right, right.
So if you could have a different experience, and that was offered as a choice, do you want to ride the red bus or the blue bus? And you could just choose, and that destination may not be at the same place, then of course you choose that based on the direction of where you want to go, not on how you want to get there.
Well, what made Michael, what was it in his physiology? Where did he learn?
Well, it became, but many have learned. If you really want to get this, if you really want to research this, you've got to go all the way back to what you recall your emerald, what's recorded on your emerald tablets. It's that old.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing new under the sun. It's all been. It all is, or it's not. So if it is, then it is. If you go back to the emerald tablets and actually sift through that very vehemently, you start having many, many aha moments where you go, oh, my gosh, this has been here all along.
And how do we access them, sir?
Well, you have this thing called a World Wide Web.
Yes.
where you have access to everything. Where before
you could just Google
nothing.
Emerald
Isn't it amazing? That you went to a place where there was no information, a void, and now all of a sudden there is so much information that they can't even sift the words.
Right.
There you go. And that new age, the Mayans understood this. They even had the calculator to figure it out so many years ago in the half cycle of your 2012 that was that full rotation of a half cycle.
Of 26,000 years.
Very good.
So
back to Michael. So, Ion, you told me that Michael, the success of Thriller, on top of the pressures he got from his family life when he was young, but the Thriller, the success of that, brought him to the same place that JFK got to, where he got to what he thought he wanted, and it was hell. And it didn't give him anything. And that's when he started to make moves to move out of that direction. Could you move from there, Ion, to how he developed this?
Yes. It's been paralleled all the way through. It's been paralleled all the way through. If you go back to King Arthur's Camelot.
Yes.
King Arthur's Camelot.
Yes.
Yeah. When he got there, it wasn't exactly the way he expected it. Okay. So therefore, a change had to come, and that's what brought in your Renaissance.
Hmm.
From that arena. And Arthur had what you call, and as you record it, Merlin. It wasn't quite exactly that way, but it's a good way to get the story down that you can embrace, you see, because that process is someone to understand the alchemy of the matter.
Yes.
Interesting that your show would be so divinely inspired.
Hmm.
Then you come into a place where JFK created a Camelot, and it wasn't quite the paradise that he had envisioned.
Hmm.
So therefore, a different choice and path was corrected. And then you come into an Elvis Presley who calculated the same way. There had to be a larger dynamic, and that sets your Memphis Graceland into it was Graceland while he was still alive. Otherwise, it had no significant meanings. Going all the way through with Michael Jackson in a Neverland, you see, this Neverland kind of gets very interesting. If you watch the aspects or the aspirations of an individual creator's creation, if you get down to the grits and gravy of the how this is played out, then all of a sudden you come into a new place. It's like, well, wait a second. We don't have to play on the carnival ride there. We can play in a larger spectrum or a larger window, because actually, Neverland is pretty much where it is. It's 2 hours from nowhere. I mean, this is your geography, so to go there, you'd really have to be very discernibly going to a geographic location. So this now becomes yet another aspiration of largerness, larger than life, and then that's where this being or his life now becomes, those creations become larger than life, because this work is old. This is 20 years old, is it not? These illusions of grandeur. You see.
So yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, no. We'll that's drawing parallels sort of through history from other aspirations that are keenly parallel, I guess is a good way to say it.
Well, when Michael, could it be, I mean, how would Michael know that he decides to go to a parallel existence, that it will be the right place?
Well, precisely. That's a very wonderful question. As you create your aspiration, let's say you want to be a Bilderberger.
Okay.
Okay, we can play there. That's as good as any. And many of the houses of the Chateau Lafitte in the Rothschilds, they had aspirations unrealized creations that became realized. Okay? And once that house was built, and once that lineage was created, and you can go all the way into the illumination of your Illuminati, we have no problem playing with it all, then they come into a place where they sometimes decide that full control is a great deal of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
yes.
If you control the whole wide world, all of a sudden now you got to be responsible for the whole wide world. And you go, well, wait a second, I didn't take all that on. I just wanted all the power in all the whole wide world. Okay, great. But then you got a great deal of job all day, every day, of sifting out who gets the power and who does not, you see, of providing the grand design of sorting out all the goods and the stuff. And you can have this and you can't have that, and you qualify for this and you don't qualify for that. So as you come into your own power, and this is that part that we able to go all day, every day, coming back to ignite the spark that activates the non-physical part of you and the physical meat sack part of you to activate that creation or creator, then you can choose. And if you get there, if this particular house is going to do it for you, or this particular aspiration is going to do it for you, if owning all the music or the collective music of artists past and controlling those copyrights is going to make enough money that's going to take care of you forever and ever and ever, and you can own those rights, and every time they play that music on a TV commercial, then the little dab of money goes to you.
Right.
That's an empire. Well, then others would say, no, wait, that's a bastardization. One human shouldn't have all that power.
Hmm.
And yet, they couldn't stop it, you see. So now you come into that thing and you get to the place of the Bilderbergers where you have it all and it doesn't suit you or please you. Well, no, I just wanted a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. That's all I wanted, you see. Well, okay, just so happens my little cabin might be 300,000 heat and cooled square feet. Well, that's wonderful. Then you have to have a staff of 200 just to maintain it. So the having the creation or wanting that comes into your collective realized creation or manifestation, if that's a good word, there are many, then you can then very easily decide, well, no thanks, I'm actually good. I'll just not have this anymore, and I'll go here, you see. So that's, once you arrive, then you get to new levels of contrast, and those new levels of contrast will finally, eternally decide if having a glass of red wine is good for the heart or bad for the heart.
So, well, you know, there's a big question I want to ask then. Maybe as soon as we come into the second hour, Ion, which is most of the stories that you have talked about are people that have wanted to amass things. What it does there, the other side of the sword, for people that want nothing, why would they be in crisis necessarily?
Well, the ones who really, really, really have nothing, very few of them are actually in crises. Most of them are at peace. The Dalai Lama doesn't have two nickels to rub together.
And somebody rubs it for him.
Beg your pardon?
Somebody rubs them for him.
Well, isn't that a marvelous creation? Because in the quenching of that desire, then you get enlightenment. Well, isn't that amazing?
Oh.
But that is indeed a desire.
Right.
So how do you quench a desire if that's what you're trying to achieve, is the desire of enlightenment?
Wow.
That's the whole anomaly becomes this, the setting up the schedule of enoughness. Okay? If that's what we're talking about here, then that's individually taken care of within the individual. How can a little hard-working family that makes $20,000 a year, and we don't play money. We can do that all day, every day. But they can have six kids and put them all through college and function, and they do just fine. They put them all through school. They all have families. They have what you call virtue. They enjoy life. They have a zest or zeal for life. And everything just works out for some people, and nothing works out for other people, you see.
Right.
And that's that whole process. The individual creator, with that spark of having non-physical clipped in and attached, where there's no, you can't tell where spiritual Eben starts, and you can't tell where physical Eben starts. When that whole becomes a gelled, cohesive oneness, and the fulcrum of the mind allows that balance, this far, no further, this much and no more. I can have this many complex carbohydrates and it doesn't hurt me. But if I have one more than that, then weight shall surely be my aspiration. You set the rules and the regulations based on everything, you see. It's why your written law was required. You asked for it.
Oh, yeah. And wow.
You see, if there is no law, why can't there just be one? Jesus said very easily, I didn't come to change the law, I came to complete it. If you can learn how to love yourself, then you can learn how to love your neighbor. And if you can learn to love your neighbor, then he's your brother. And if he's your brother, then you're not your brother's keeper. You become the place of salt and light in an otherwise looking-in world who's trying to figure it out, coming to a place where then you can enjoy, you can bring into your reality right here, right now, then you can come into a place where you can have heaven on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's what we're talking about here, the utopian paradise of coming into the balance of the knowledge of your power. And if you only knew how much power you actually have, and we've actually so enjoyed the questions that bring us into a place that, yes, indeed, if God created this earth, God also can create a portal, a path for many worlds within this dimension that are paralleled within the other dimension. Because you're not just, you have multi-facets and dimensions as an individual creator.
Yeah.
You're not just the driver of a car. You can also be a mother. You can also be a lover. You can also be a dad. You can also be a CEO. You can also be a cook. You can also be a laundress. You can also, and because most folks take on multitasks, they can, I am, and make dinner at the same time. So imagine that. Imagine that all this orchestration is no big deal. But let's have this conversation 40 years ago. You're churning butter. You're not doing anything else other than churning. I'm the churner of butter. That's my job in life. And I had hoped for so much more, but that's my lot in life, is the churner of the butter. Because if I don't churn the butter, then there will be no butter on this planet. So now you see how we're being kind of tongue-in-cheek, but that's that multi-dimensional person that now people can do all kinds of things almost to the point where they're in overload. And that overload sometimes can bring contrast. And that contrast is the thing that makes you ask the questions. And the asking the questions brings you into a new place of knowing. And coming into a new place of knowing opens a whole new plethora of choices and opportunities, you see.
I'm trying to write all that down.
It's very, very delicious.
Very
delicious, because now all of a sudden you take your power back.
Yes.
Because that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
And the freedom that you're talking about, nobody's going to get a big enough crew to overthrow anything, to push against anything, to bring you back into a place where you come into your power. When you start taking your power, then it's your culpable responsibility for what's going on in your world and your life. And now it's no longer the government's fault. It's not my mama's fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's your culpable creation that you're responsible for. And as you're responsible, you come into the power and the knowing that you are indeed a creator. You came forth into this plane and this world through the natural, normal way to mix it up, to bring it into the place where you can come to your knowing that you are culpably responsible for everything that's in your veracity, in your knowledge, in your knowing, in your beingness.
Yes.
And if it's as you like it, as Shakespeare said so eloquently, very good. Or it can be much ado about nothing, as is your pleasure. You see, he understood that process and wrote tragedies and comedies regarding it all day, every day.
Wow.
And they're still lauding his works, and that was a very long time ago.
Let me quick transition on this. Because
we're in time.
That's exactly. Let me arbitrarily set this point here.
Make it up.
I'm going to make it up.
We're under illusion.
Just like they do with our money. I'm going to make this up out of thin air and say, it is 3:08 and you are tuned to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and San Diego 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. So do you guys, oh my God, that was the most amazing string of
verbiage.
Yes, verbiage. And that has just absolutely, I finally am starting to starting to see that pinpoint of light. And I hope you guys are too, because this is where it is at. This is what everything is about. It is about you, Dag Nabbit, and taking your power and taking responsibility. No more of this jabby nanny state kind of deal. And that's what Ion and Bob are talking about tonight. Oh my God, it was brilliant. That flurry that I've tried to keep up with. But hold it.
Great. Well, you can hear the tape. Evan, can I say something?
Well, certainly, yeah.
Okay. We're going to probably get a call from the guy from a month ago who said, what about this 2-year-old starving in Brazil? Or how could they be taking responsibility for it? Well, I asked Ian about that the next day at a private session.
You know what, darling? Let me just do this transition to the second hour. And that's where we're starting, Bob, because, that's awesome. All right, darlings, stay tuned, because Bob and Ian are here. And you guys might be thinking, wow, how does this relate? I hope you see how this relates now. All right? Good stuff. Good stuff here at KPFK. All right? That's what we bring you. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.